Is it not something that the eternal God would say, come unto me, and we stand 100 miles away, and we won't come. Our condemnation in that day, if we do not get to him in this life, will be, ye would not. Won't be because you weren't elected. Won't be because God sovereignly controls all things. It'll just simply be you would not come to him. And to Jerusalem, wherein most are now in hell, he wept and said, how oft would I have gathered you? You would not. I had outstretched arms, and you wouldn't come. And many times, my only hope is God receives sinners. And this promise, he will cast none away that comes unto him. So I keep going back, running to him upon his faithfulness. Lord, you said you wouldn't cast me off. Hadn't got anything else except your word and your faithfulness. And quit looking back, folk. Something happened yesterday or 10 years ago. No, keep coming to him. If you turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 15. And would you pray with me that God provide the needy help for preaching and for hearing. Our Father, we thank you for the great provision made that sinners might approach unto thee. And it is not our vileness, our great sins, the infinite number of those that we have committed that will keep us from thee. If in sincerity of heart we approach you for mercy. And do we not each day stand in need of that? And again, of approaching unto Christ. and continue to be being saved. Father, help us tonight. Give that which is needed to the preacher and to the hearers, all for the glory of Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. I started, thought about all morning to come down here leaving my Bible on my desk. Just come empty-handed. You know that they recommend if you get up in the night to, for whatever, if it is not necessary, don't turn on the lights. Because light stimulates the brain. And you might have a hard time getting back to sleep because the brain's telling you light's on, it's time to get up. And there's just something about custom, a repeated practice. Which has regularity and exactness, that we all become settled down in its performance. You probably have a general time in which you try to read and you try to pray. And you've got to fight within yourself to get beyond custom. I mean, that might be the best time in the day for you to read, the best time for you to pray because the mind is more alert. I don't know. And it might be the right time for you to pray, but you got to war against custom, repeated practice. And one of the reasons I gave serious thought to leaving it, this book at home, is that it's like that light coming on. We open the book, and once again, it's time for us to listen. Don't let custom settling down to a performance of duties take the meaning away which might be obtained from those duties. I hope that I can enlarge upon that with this passage of Scripture. Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and in their teaching it was this, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now they've got warrant to say these things about circumcision and about Moses and about circumcision going all the way back to Abraham and the covenant of God given and all the male children 8 days old were to be circumcised. So they got the law of God. And they are aware that had not Zipporah, Moses' wife, circumcised his sons, God would have killed him. And they believe that it is important, ordered of God, for the male children in Israel, contained within the law of God. And here they're saying, they're preaching, you've got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, or you cannot be saved. Verse number 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Speak to you about that. No small dissension and disputation with them. Everybody got mad at each other. And Paul and Barnabas took out their weapons, and the other group, which came down from Judea, took out their weapons. And they thought, we'll settle this issue now before we proceed on. No, brethren at odds. Both holding on to a portion of Scripture and dissension and disputation arising between the two groups. But here's what they did. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them, you two, and some in our group should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, each taking a different position that they thought was right. none yielding to the other because they believed in what they taught. Now you got the Pharisees, which believe now, taking up for the group which came with Paul and Barnabas, who taught that you got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses to be saved. And in this little gathering, ever how large it was, much disputing occurred. Now, folk, you got to remember, all they've got here is the Old Testament law. They don't have any of the New Testament. So you got the Old Testament scriptures, and you got the church that is transitioning from the old economy into the new, except they do not have Christ, the teacher, the instructor, the chief cornerstone, the head of the church. So trying to get from the old, where they lived under figures, types, and shadows for 4,000 years, and many of them died, never understanding what the type or shadow or figure represented. They just got settled into religion. They just kept on with custom. Now listen to one that got beyond the shadow. And he got beyond the actual killing of the lambs or the turtle dove, or the oxen, for whatever offering they were to participate in. Meat offering, burnt offering, or what? David said in Psalm 51, Lord, you do not desire sacrifice. If that's what you desire, I'd give it. Wait a minute, David. For 2,000 years, that's what they've been doing because God ordained the slaying of animals. God Himself slew two to cover two fallen children. David knew God doesn't desire the killing of animals. If you took delight in sacrifice, I'd be glad to give that to you. Anything to cover my sin. And Lord, you don't delight in burnt offerings. It'd be easy for me to go out and slay something and cut it up in the ordered pieces and lay it in order on the wood and burn it, but you don't want that. And thousands upon thousands of them continued doing this and never knew why they were doing it. Look with me at one verse, Psalm 50. Fiftieth Psalm, Verse number 8. God speaking. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. You have been often in that word, sacrifices and your burnt offerings. But you've placed too great an emphasis on it, and you become satisfied in conscience by your effort, where we can get where we may be. We read, we pray, we sit down on the pew, all ordained of God, but we become satisfied by the effort we put forward. God said, you took care of the little things, the smaller issues of the law, but you've omitted the greater or weightier matters of the law. Now, folk, it would appear that that would be one of the greatest acts they could perform, killing an animal and offering it up to God. Listen to Christ, Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites! You pay tithe of mint and cumin and anise, but you have omitted the weightier matter. Whoa, weightier matters. It'd be time consuming to count out how many seed of this spice or how many leaves of this spice is due in my tithe to God. That'd be hard work. God said, you didn't mind taking care of these small things, but you've omitted the weightier: judgment, mercy, faith, all within. It's easy to count out one of your dollars out of 10 and give it to the Lord. It's hard in judging yourself, being a merciful creature, or determining if your faith is true. These in Psalm 50, and those in Acts 15, those in Acts 15 are in ignorance, but these and those in Acts 15 hold God captive as to their deeds. I do what you told me to do. Now look at verse number 9, Psalm 50. I'll take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and all the fowl. You're bringing me a bullock or a fowl, and you think that you're holding me captive by your works, Because you are doing that which was commanded, I don't need your bullet. I got them all. I don't need anything. Whether you're righteous, holy, doing what God commands or not doing what God commands, it adds nothing to the sufficiency in the Godhead. Nothing. Well, God ordained these things, therefore He has need of them. No, I don't. There is sufficiency in the Godhead that He needs nothing. Will I perform the deeds that God has ordained, therefore God owes me? No, He doesn't. No. If you do, because that's the thing God has commanded. But you have no heart in that you do. It is not done before God. Oh, folk, many people are content with following a rigid standard. And we count ourselves righteous creatures because of our deeds. Many are content with what they do, and that they do is based upon the commands of God. But the children of God in the Old Testament, the children of God were enabled to embrace the substance in the slain bullock, turtle dove, or lamb. Faith, Hebrews 11:1, is the substance. Not a shadow, not a type, not a figure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And yet, in the unseen, the children of God throughout the old economy knew something of what that lamb represented. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel didn't have a Bible. By faith, Enoch walked with God. He didn't have a Bible. By faith, Noah built an ark. Abraham offered up His only begotten Son. Moses went back into Egypt to bring Israel out of Egypt. And the list is too great, Paul said, for me to even begin mentioning all those giants of faith. How do they know what to do? They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. They didn't have a preacher. But they knew what to do because they walked with God. and they were left solely to the direction of God in their heart and the answer of a good conscience before God. Now, we've got all three. Well, you don't have much of the preacher, but you got the other two. You got a Bible, and you got a church. We've got the very things ordained of God to help us on to know God. But because we got a Bible, and because we got a church, and because we got part of a preacher, it has left us as individuals without a need to walk personally with God and have the direction and unction of the Spirit of God leading us. And our consciences in this day have become so dull. I guess, folk, we're like the soldier that failed to put his sword in the sheath and just hung it on his belt and walking around in the world dragging the tip of it. It just wore the edge, the sharp point off the end of it. We're doing what God appointed us, commanded us to do. Now listen, our doing has become our God. Now I realize some can take this and use it as an excuse to discard every and all the means of God. Your Bible, your closet, your church, and preacher. You say, well, what you're talking about, I can just throw all those away and walk with God. No, you can't walk with God without, apart from these. But these are not God. And a Christian no matter how dull the conscience might be, he's got a conscience that tells him that he's going to meet God one day. And you'll use whatever means God has ordained to help you on to know him that you might meet him in peace. Well, in Acts 15, you've got two groups. You've got one that holds rigidly to Moses and Moses' teaching concerning circumcision. And you got another come along saying that what Moses taught, though ordered and commanded of God in a physical act, it only was to get you into the spiritual realm. That which God ordained in the flesh was to let you know that your heart has got to be circumcised. They don't have a Bible. So they go back to the church at Jerusalem. Now in Acts 15, I want you to read with me verse number 28. After all the discussion and tossing around, save if we are circumcised as Moses commanded, or if that which Moses commanded was only a type. In prayer and covering all this in that group there in the church, and having the Spirit of God to direct them, they came up with this, verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. He who directs the children of God has made us to know that circumcision in the flesh does not profit and does not bring God under obligation to bless us because we're performing a physical act. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Do you know of a group of people directed by the Spirit of God today? Folk, we teach on Wednesday night because we don't have the spirit of prayer anymore. Now we point men to all the big churches. We've got the big men to direct them. One said they leave all the praying to the women and the men direct the church. And we got our Sunday school director, and we got the head of the deacon board, and we got the pastors and the teaching elders, but we don't have the Spirit of God. Now remember, folk, these people only got the Old Testament, but they got something that enables them to take the Old Testament and make spiritual application, and that was the Spirit of God. It seemed good to him. What Moses said about circumcising those male children at 8 days old, that was right, but that was God teaching us something beyond an act. The Lord will circumcise the hearts of His children. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 6. Paul said, don't you think because your dad and mom and your granddad and grandmother came up as a Jew that makes you a Jew. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but inwardly, and that circumcision of the heart. Romans 2, verse 28, if you want to look at it. Now let's move down from Acts 15, 2,000 years ago, to 2015. We see it. We got a Bible. We got a church. And the so-called preacher. But haven't we all settled down like those in the Old Testament to do what's required of us? And doing what God requires of us, God must be pleased with us. And somehow in doing, we become satisfied. And we need nothing more. Because you've got a Bible and a preacher does not mean that you hear God when you read your Bible or sit on a pew. He may not be talking to you. But you know what, folks? We assume that because we read a book and hear a sermon, that God is speaking to us. You will never get saved until God has something to say in your heart. This is, for the most part, a closed book. And we get a little sermon. It tells us what we need to do. And with that, it enables us to perform our right task. And we're satisfied. But a closed book and a little sermon makes no demands on us. And it enables us to go on about the important things of life. And we can without a guilty conscience. We can go out talking to God for a lengthy period of time. We can go without a word from God. Well, it doesn't matter, I read my Bible. Why didn't Paul and Barnabas and the group here in Acts 15 just forget their difference and each go their separate ways? Because it was a matter of life and death. They had to get it settled. And one has been confronted with the vital issues of death. You got to be circumcised like Moses. No. But the point each is making is of such importance that they can't let it go. And they had to get it settled. If they're right, Paul's got to change his message. If Paul and Barnabas are right, they've got to change their message or lose God. They didn't want that. So they took means to get it right. And they got it right. Go on and read the rest of the New Testament. Do you really believe that it matters to most what they believe? It doesn't. No, just as long as they believe something. And folk, we sit on the verge of losing the great interpreter of the Word of God, the one that brings Christ to our hearts. Because we've got the Word, we got the church, and you can call it that, a preacher. That's all we need. The old church fathers, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, they had no written word. They had no law that they could pull out of their pocket and search for direction. All they had was the voice of God. His revelation in creation and the conscience to guide them correctly. Now we got the written word, and we just about got nothing. I'll let you go shortly. Christianity can be reduced to its simplest form. In the creation of God, in the book of God, and experience in the hearts and conscience of the children of God. And here it is, Christ and the church. The bridegroom and the bride. Christ and his friend. The father and his child. Now, do you know anything about any of these relationships? Or have you become satisfied with performing deeds that God has required? Do you remember when it was just you and your mate? Things of the world didn't matter. Each of your families was at a distance. Friends had gone their way. And it's just the two of you today. Two of you. Where are you today? You've got jobs. You've got children. You've got friends. You've got religious duties to do. You've got ambitions. And it's two people living together. And I don't know if you'll ever get it back. I have my doubt. Because that exists between husband and wife only reflects the relationship between Christ and his church. sad thing is we've become satisfied. We got a husband up there, but I've got too much to do to be concerned about him in life. And you let one come along and challenge us on what we believe. You can't be saved except circumcised. One come along and challenge you on your relationship with Christ. And you'll put forth a strong argument. Well, it is this way because of. Children, you're going to walk out of here tonight. And you're going to leave it right here in the building. No dissension. No problems here. Everything's all right. We must be pleasing to God. We've got to wake up or perish.